Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
So today, what I'm going to be talking about, and it's something that I was really wrestling this week because I had two messages that were really on my heart. And one of them, I was just like, yep, it's for this Sunday. I got to do it. I got to work on it. Spent my time, spent my hours diving into God's word and really trying to piece it together. And it was coming together and it was going really good. And honestly, I was just having a simple conversation with someone just the other day on Friday night, and it's just something stirred in me. I realized that the other message that God had on my heart, it wasn't just for like myself. It wasn't just for something that was for the youth group. It was something that God really wanted me to share today. And like the other message, I could have powered through, I could have made sound really nice and be really great, but there was just a conviction in my heart to say, no, I can't do that, not this week. I had to do this message. And what it is, it's called Vibes. And the way that we have our youth students and kind of like their new lingo kind of a deal is they always talk about a vibe check, a vibe in a room, a vibe someone gives. It's just like the feeling they have when they walk somewhere, they get to know someone. Good vibes, bad vibes. And in this series that we were going through, we were talking about vibes as emotions, right? We got anger, we have fear, we have guilt, we have happiness, we have hope, we have joy. You can continue to list them. And as we were going through these, as we were going through these messages and really diving into God's word, I really saw, and I've been hearing from like parents, just the change from these kids in emotional awareness. And it was one of those things that really got me thinking when I was thinking about this on Friday night and I was thinking about it yesterday. It's like, we were never really taught how to monitor. I'm going too far forward. There we go. How to monitor our emotions. I'm making sure I don't destroy your guys' ears, so I'm going to stay back here. They put me on a leash. That's not fair. But today, what we are going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about specifically how to monitor the feeling of guilt. Because this far along in our lives, this far along in our daily walk with Christ, we are not perfect, and we have all done something that we have felt bad for, right? We have done something that we knew was wrong. We have done something that maybe in the moment we lashed out, we weren't sure why, but then by the end of it, we realized that we did something wrong to someone else. So I'm going to ask you guys the same question I asked my high school and middle school kids. What would you do if you knew you would get away with it and without any consequences? Don't raise your hand. But what would you do if you knew you could do anything you wanted with no consequences or never getting caught? Now tell me out loud. No, I'm just playing. Don't do that. But I'm sure that whatever you were thinking and whatever some of the stuff that popped in your head probably wasn't the best thing, right? It was probably something that was pretty like, man, I couldn't even believe I really thought that. I couldn't believe that that was actually inside my head. And growing up, I loved watching cartoons, right? And it was like the classics. Well, to me, they're classics, but maybe, I don't know. Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, Cartoon Network, things like that. And I loved watching, you know, the cat getting hit by the pan and his face turns into the pan shape and like him getting blown up several times and all of those different things to where like that became my kind of humor growing up. I thought that was funny. And so then growing up, having all that stuff in me, I'll just have like random thoughts where, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but like I'd be like driving like on the road and I'll like see someone like on a bike or something like that. And I just think, man, how funny would it be if like I just kind of like door check them like as I go by and they fall over. And I'm like, that's kind of funny. And I'm like, why did I think that? Why did that go through my head? Why did I think that was funny? Why was that? Why is that inside of me? Like where did that come from? And I felt guilt right when I thought that thought. And the truth is we all have the potential to think of things like that. We all have the potential to dream, and we all have the potential to think of things that are dark just as much as we are thinking of things that are light. It is what is inside of us that is going to be showing and that's going to be going around. You see, growing up, we learned how to monitor our behavior in certain places. Like, we're never told to laugh at a funeral unless, you know, someone plays a joke. You don't just randomly, like, shout. You're not allowed to, like, talk during a movie or things like that. We were told, like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that in these situations. But has someone ever told you how to process your emotions in that way, in those areas? Like, if you're at a funeral, how to process the feeling of losing a loved one, a feeling of losing someone that, you know, was really close to you, or a feeling that you did something really bad and you just kind of stuff it inside you and you don't know how to process it. You see, we were told our whole lives how to monitor our behavior, but we've never been told how to monitor our emotions. And so that's why I think this sermon, that's why I think God really put this on my heart for this, is because I don't think, for me anyway, I never really learned how to monitor my emotions in situations. I never really learned how to monitor what's going on inside of me every single day. But it's so important because, you see, when we don't really pay attention to what's inside of us, when we don't really pay attention to what's going on around us, what we tend to do is, because we don't pay attention to it, it builds up, right? And it gets compacted, and all of a sudden these things start revolving in our heads, it starts revolving in our hearts, and we think we're past it, we think we're done with it, we think everything's okay, everything's fine, but it's still inside of you, it's still coming out, and then all of a sudden, it comes out to those around you for like no reason at all, right? Like maybe someone clicked their pen a little too loud and you just blew up on them for no reason. Or someone's just chewing just a little bit, you know, too long, and you can just continually hear it while you're watching TV, and you're just done with it. And all of a sudden, things that are really little, things that are really small, all of a sudden become a really big deal for no reason. And that's because the stuff that's inside of you is always stirring, it's always mixing. You see, when we look, how many of you, I'm curious, I don't know if everyone's seen it, but how many of you have seen the movie? It's a Pixar movie, it's a children's movie. I love children's movies, and I don't even have children. I just like watching them on my own free time. I watched all three Cars movies yesterday in my own free time just because I was bored. I thought it was great. But how many of you guys have seen the movie Inside Out? Where Inside Out is all about the different emotions inside this little girl working together to give her a good life, working together to help her grow up and mature. And every emotion had a different memory, and those memories, depended on what color they were, is what the emotion was. If it was yellow, it was happy. If it was red, it was anger. If it was blue, it was sad, and so on and so forth. And all the marbles were inside the person, and all of those were what was going on inside of her, were memories, were experiences that happened to her. And when life got crazy, when life got like a little out of control for her, when things just didn't seem normal, the marbles started shaking up inside of her. Things started losing control, and things were getting stirred up, and she started acting out of normal. She started acting out of place because there was no one there to control them. There was nothing there to monitor them. But you see, when we look at our circumstances, when we look at what's going on and why we act out, we tend to blame other things. We tend to blame the circumstances around us. Well, if this person didn't do that, I wouldn't have done this. Or if I had a better day, I wouldn't have acted this way. But no, it's what's already inside of you that's coming out. You see, it doesn't matter how much you shake the marbles. There's still marbles inside that body. There's still marbles inside of you. But whatever it is, when you pour it out, it's still marbles that's coming out no matter what. If it's anger, well, I'm going to lose one. Boop. Still lost it. But that's okay. I just won't. It's right over there. I'll just make sure I don't step over there. But anyway, whatever is inside of you is going to come out eventually, whether it's a red marble, blue marble, whatever it is that's inside of you. If you don't process it, if you don't monitor it, it's going to come out of you in some way, shape, or form. That's why it's so important to ask yourself, what is coming out? Am I really joyful throughout the day? Am I really sad throughout the day? Am I really angry throughout the day? And why? Is it really because of that person and what they did? Is it really because my day just sucked because I didn't get what I wanted? What is actually going on inside of you? So King Solomon, He says this in Proverbs. Can we go ahead and put the first verse up? Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart, from everything you do flows from it. Everything that, what King Saul is trying to say, everything that you pour into your heart, everything that you allow in your life will eventually come out in some way, shape, or form, whether you believe it or not. That's why he says, above all else, the most important thing is to guard your heart. The best thing you can do in your marriage, the best thing you can do in your relationships, the best thing you can do in your daily life at work is to guard your heart and to make sure that what is going inside of it is healthy when it comes out to those around you. See, when we talk about guilt, when we talk about that pain, when we talk about that feeling of knowing we messed up, what we talk about is after we do something and we wonder, why did we do it that way? Why did we act that way? Why did we lash out? Why did we lie? Why did we hurt someone? Why did we do the things that we did? And that was because we didn't have a good monitor of our emotions and we let them come out unmonitored and it just did whatever it wanted. We let our emotions control us at that moment. We let our emotions control the situation rather than us monitoring them and controlling them ahead of the game. You see, once we do those things, once we hurt someone, and let's all admit we have done something like that, right? We have all done something we are guilty of. We have all done something to hurt someone. We have all done something to lie to someone else. We have all done something to be worthy of having guilt. That is just humanity. That is who we are. That doesn't mean you're any less of a human being. That doesn't mean you're any less than the person sitting next to you. You are human, and it is okay to have guilt, and it's okay to have done something wrong. But if you let that guilt, that hurt, that pain continue to flow through your life, to continue to dictate how you feel about yourself and how you feel about others, that is guilt controlling you. That is guilt controlling your daily life. And that's what we need to steer away from, because that's not what God planned for you. You see, there's two kinds of guilt. There's false guilt, where you feel guilty over something that you have had no part of, that you have had no actual reason to feel guilty of, or something that was a really small deal, but you felt horrible about it, and you don't know why. That's false guilt, but that's still a real thing that's inside of us. And then there's actual guilt, where you know you did something wrong. You know you messed up. You know you hurt someone. You know you lied to someone, or you did something that was just completely out of character, and it took something from someone else. It took their time, it took their trust, it took their respect, whatever it is. You took something from someone, and now you feel guilty about it. That is actual guilt. But you see, and this is the big problem that I really try to talk to with our youth students about, is because once you have that guilt, once you know something's you messed up, do not let that become your identity. Do not let that become who you are. Well, I messed up here, so I might as well just be called this. Well, I messed up here, so they'll never trust me in this, so I'm never going to be able to amount to this. Well, I did this, so I'm not allowed on this job, so I'm never going to get to that point that I want to in life. Don't let your failure, don't let your guilt, don't let your past identify who you are. Don't let your mistakes, don't let your pain, don't let that identify who you are as a human being. Don't let that control you. And the funny thing is, and I kind of talked about earlier, is when we feel that guilt, when we feel that pain, when we just know we messed up and we start wondering, okay, how can we get out of it? First thing is blame, revenge too. Oh, repent? Oh, there we go, repent. Yes, and I'll get to that one here in a little bit. But we tend to do the blame game, right? Well, it wasn't only me that was in that situation. Other people could have helped. Other people could have been there. Other people could have supported. It wasn't only me. Or one of the really big things is, I was just going through a really bad time. You know, my finances weren't were supposed to be. I was having a really hard time with my relationships. I just didn't really know what I wanted to do in life. I was just in a bad phase, and I wasn't myself. And then you can just do a fill in the blank for this, because we always start with, it's not my fault because blank. and we can throw that on anything. It's not my fault because a butterfly threw my car window and I got in a car accident. Like, you can put the blame on almost anything. And you see, the reason why we do that, the reason why we play the blame game and we start blaming the factors around us is because then we feel like we're making that guilt inside of us feel less powerful. Well, I'm not as bad of a person because of these circumstances. I'm not as bad of a person because so-and-so did this as well, or they made me feel this way, or I just wasn't in the right place. And you feel like you're giving guilt less power. You feel like you're making yourself better and like less of a bad person in the situation. But what you're actually doing is you're giving guilt more power. What you're actually doing is you are stuffing it inside of you and pretending everything's okay and just saying those marbles aren't actually there because it wasn't actually my fault. And you suppress that guilt with blaming other people, but it's still inside of you. That emotion is still there. You see, I talked about how guilt creates debt, because when you feel bad about something, when you feel like you did something wrong, you understand in your head, and you may not put the two together because I know I didn't, is you actually took something from someone else. When you hurt someone, you have taken their trust. When you hurt someone, you have taken their time. You have taken something from them, and you owe something back to them. That's where the guilt comes from. You feel like you've taken something from them, and you owe something. That's why when we apologize, that's why when we try to make things right, we say a weight has been lifted. Because that weight, that stuff that you took, is a weight on your shoulders. It is something, whether it's their reputation, their trust, or self-esteem, whatever it is that you took from them, you feel bad about, so you put that weight on your back, and all of a sudden, you just feel heavy for the rest of your day. I remember, growing up, I wasn't really the best high school student. I got in trouble a lot, and I knew nothing major. Then again, now I'm shifting the guilt, whatever, but it's fine. I'll admit to it, I wasn't the greatest student. And whenever I got caught, I felt that guilt. Hence when I said whenever I got caught. Whenever I did something and I knew I was going to get in trouble for it, I had this feeling of guilt inside of me. And for the rest of the day, I'm trying to go through school. I'm trying to go through my, just trying to like get work done, trying to have fun with my friends. But whenever I knew I did something wrong and I knew I had to face my parents at the end of the day, it didn't matter how good I was feeling. It didn't matter how much I got done. There was still this weight that was on the back of me that just threw me off balance for the rest of my day. Because I'm just thinking, oh, I have to face my parents after this. Oh, I have to go and, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to get grounded. I don't know how long I'm going to be in trouble for this. I don't want to have that conversation with them because I knew I disappointed them. I knew I did something wrong to them. Like, they have done everything to support me, and here I am goofing off every single day at school. Well, maybe not every day. Yeah, every day. Never mind. But what the thing is there was a weight that I felt whenever I felt guilty of something, even after high school. Whenever I knew I've done something wrong, whenever I knew I hurt someone, I am like the quickest to apologize because I always feel bad for things. I always feel bad of holding on to things, and I know when I mess up, I am very quick to say, hey, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Because a lot of times in ministry, we tend to lose focus on, you know, we're here to lead the people, not get this amazing atmosphere done, right? We're here to help guide people. We're here to help show love and be the example of Jesus. And sometimes it is very easy to lose track of that. And it's very easy to say, well, I have so much at church I need to get done. I can't meet with you today. I have so much at church I need to get done that I couldn't have that meeting today. I'm so sorry. And I just begin to lose focus sometimes. And I'm being really vulnerable right now. I'm just letting you guys know. And I just have to take that time to just say, and I apologize to those people and just say, like, hey, I'm sorry. I should have reached out to you guys. I was letting my own weight, my own fear dictate, my own emotion of fear dictate how I did things, because I had a fear of pleasing people. I had a fear of making sure my bosses were happy. I had a fear of making sure that everyone was happy, that I lost focus of what I was really here for. And so I had to take time to really evaluate, why am I here? Am I here to be all of these different people? Am I here to do all these different jobs? Or am I here to reach the youth? Am I here to reach the children? Am I here to reach, you know, put in the blank right there? And so sometimes we let our fear, sometimes we let our anger, sometimes we let our emotions dictate how we do things, and we begin to lose focus on where we actually need to be. Who do we actually need to reach out to? Who do we actually need to be an influence to? Who is it that God is calling us to reach? Because God isn't calling us to be perfect. God is calling us to be disciples and to create followers. He's not calling us to be perfect. He's not calling us to have it all together. And so when we hold on to guilt, when we start feeling bad about the things that we should have done, when we feel bad about things that we know we did wrong, and instead of owning up to it, instead of apologizing to it, instead of saying, you know, I really messed up here, and we hold on to it and we pretend that it's not real and we pretend that it's something that isn't really going on inside of us, then what that does is that turns your guilt into anger. Because when you are guilty about something, you feel stuck. When you're guilty about something, you'll think that you'll never reach it to this point because you were not good enough and you messed up, so you're stuck down here. When you feel guilt, you feel like that everyone knows the thing that you did was wrong, and you feel judged constantly. You feel like all eyes are on you, and them saying, well, at least I'm not that person. At least I didn't mess up like that. Fill in the blank. So then when you don't let that guilt go, when you don't let that guilt process the way that you should and own up to it and apologize and be real and honest with yourself, it turns into anger over time. And so now that we have an understanding of guilt, now that we kind of understand where I'm going with this, I really want to look at the New Testament. I really want to look at where can we pull the Bible into this? Where can we, so we've talked about the emotion of guilt. We talked about how to process it, kind of, but how do we actually do it when it comes to God's word? How do we do it when it comes to living, you know, a godly lifestyle? And I guarantee you guys, what I'm about to talk to you about today, all the wrong things that we have done in this room collectively, if we put it all together, it would not amount to this man's guilt altogether. This man in the New Testament has had done horrible things, but yet God still did amazing things through him. And today we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul had more regret than any of us could imagine, even more than what we could, if we actually think about, more than what we could actually see in God's word. Because he wasn't just a preacher trying to make a point. He lived a life of trying to be guilt-free. He lived a life of trying to continually battle his guilt about what he's done. You see, before he was Paul, the preacher, his name was Saul of Tarsus. And who Saul of Tarsus was someone that went from city to city and chased down Christians, tortured them, sent them into prison, and even had some of them killed. And that was his life for years. He was someone that would chase and find families, find anyone he could find that were followers of Jesus and sent them to prison, tortured them, and even killed some of them. And then he had an amazing godlike experience where Jesus showed up to him and completely changed his ways and completely showed him who God was in his life and completely changed to where he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And he went from being someone that was a Christian killer to a Christian creator. He was someone that said, I am called, I am equipped, I am good enough, and I am going to do what God says I can do. And so what makes the story so interesting is when we talk about Paul and we talk about his life, he didn't run from his past. He didn't run or hide or say, that wasn't me. That I wasn't Saul, that wasn't me. He owned it. He said, yes, that was me. I'm the one that sent those people to prison. I'm the one that chased these people down. I'm the one that killed them. And think about his ministry, because he went to the same places where he captured people and preached God's word to those places. So imagine the guilt. I'm just picturing it right now. Imagine the guilt he felt when he walked up to those people and saw people he knew from his past life, people that he chased, people that he tortured, families, children, husbands, wives. Imagine seeing them, knowing what he did in the past, and the amount of guilt he had on his shoulders when he preached and when he saw those people. But when he owns it, he says it here in Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin. Because of Jesus, something new happened. There is freedom in owning up to God. There is freedom in owning up to saying, God, I messed up. Why? Because of Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. We are no longer bound to the old law. We are no longer bound to those guidelines. We're no longer bound to the chains of what the law really is. Go ahead and go to Romans 3a. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. You see, the law was guided, was more like guidelines for us, right? It was the beginning guidelines. It was the fences that kept us going straight. It was something to tell us, hey, maybe you shouldn't murder. Hey, maybe you shouldn't steal. Hey, maybe you shouldn't do these things. That's what the law was about. It was guidelines. It was helping us to know the direction that God wants us to go. But the law wasn't freedom. Law wasn't something that made us feel like we are doing God's will. In fact, it made us see ourselves as imperfect because we can never amount to perfection, right? We always fall short because we are human, because we have original sin. But if we continue on to the verse, which is Romans 3, the whole verse, I'm going to do the whole thing again. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Jesus died a criminal's death so that we can be free. Because he lived a life that was perfect. He was the one that lived the life without sin. He was the one that lived the life that he had done nothing wrong. He was just as human on the earth as you and I were. He had the emotions that we have. He had the feelings that we have. And when you dive into the New Testament, when you actually look at Jesus' life, you can see key moments where Jesus had the same emotions that we have in today's world. Feelings of guilt, feelings of sadness, feelings of joy, happiness, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a close friend, the fear, but we can go into that in a different time. Fear of the Lord specifically. Pastor's the one preaching on that. But we're going to go ahead and just continue on Romans 8:3-4. So I'm just going to read verse 4 on this just for time's sake. So, In order that the righteousness or the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, when Jesus died on the cross for us, when he was that sacrifice for us, what happened was God as the Father sees that sacrifice, wipe away our sins, and he sees us for who we are as a human being, who we are as his creation, completely and made in his image. That's how God sees us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we accept him as the sacrifice that he was for us. Jesus doesn't see us for imperfections. Jesus doesn't see us for the things that we did wrong. Jesus doesn't see us for all the things that we think aren't perfect. He just sees us as his creation. And it's through the power of Jesus' death on the cross that we have that access. God made our relationship with him guilt-free. God made our relationship with him through the power of Jesus to be guilt-free. So what you did, whatever you feel guilty for, whatever you feel like you are ashamed of, that does not define you. Jesus on the cross, dying for your sins, defines you. Jesus is the one who defines you, not your sin. He took the guilt on himself so that we can have that relationship with God. And that's what Paul is trying to say in these verses, because he had every reason to feel guilty. He had every reason to feel like he wasn't good enough. He had every reason to feel like he wasn't qualified to do what God asked him to do. One of the really cool things about Paul, too, is one of the reasons why he wrote so many letters, the reason why he wrote so many times is because he knew that he wasn't the greatest of speakers. He knew that he wasn't the best preacher out there. And so out of that, he knew God, how do you want to use me? God gave him the power to write these letters. God gave him the power to write these books that we now call majority of the New Testament, because he knew he had a job to do, and he did it the best way that he could, but it wasn't to the standard that these people expected at that time, because all these preachers, or all these people knew were preachers. All these, what these people knew was, who is the best preacher out there? That's who I'm going to go follow. And Paul was good. He knows he was good. But even in the New Testament, he says, but there's someone better. Even in the New, I can't remember his name, but he knows that there was someone that he couldn't quite compete with. And he said it was because he had a stutter. So he knew that what he was called to do, and he did it to the best of his ability. And because he was obedient to God, and because he was obedient to his call, regardless of how he felt about himself, we have majority of the New Testament. So for us, when we feel guilty, when we feel like we're not good enough, when we feel like we can't do God's will because A, B, and C, and D, because of our finances, because of our personality, because we're not good enough, because you can name it, whatever it is, Paul had the same exact feeling, and he was obedient to God's call still. And he found a way to reach the people that he was called to reach. He found a way to talk to the people he was called to talk to. And because of his obedience, because of his faithfulness, we have majority of the New Testament. We have majority of what God wanted for the early church to continue into our lives today. And just think about, if we were obedient to God, regardless of how we felt, regardless of the guilt and shame that we have, imagine what he can do through you. You see, we need to understand that guilt does not define us. Guilt does not put us in the place that to say that we're not good enough and we're never going to get where we want to in life. So as I'm getting ready to close, as I'm getting ready to end this, I just have a few things that I really want to share with you guys when it comes to processing guilt, when it comes to looking at Paul's life and kind of applying what the New Testament says for us. And the first one is this one, especially when it comes to Paul. Don't let your guilt condemn you or punish you for what you've done. Don't let it disable you from what God has called you to do. Don't say that I'm not good enough because I never did this in life. Don't say I'm not good enough because I don't know the Bible well enough. Don't ever say I don't know what I'm going to do because I've never done this before. Whatever your excuse is, whatever the feeling and that guilt and whatever is going on inside of you, take a look at that. See what marbles are being shaken inside of you. What is it that you keep telling yourself? And why are we stuck? Why do we feel stuck? Why do we feel like we can't go anywhere? Because here's the truth. You belong to God. You belong to God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher from beginning to end. He is the one that's in control of all of this. And if he is in control of all of this and he wants to work in and through you, there's probably because there is a purpose. He wants to do something inside of you and through you. So don't feel like you are stuck because you messed up. Don't feel like you're stuck because you never did what God called you to do before. Don't feel like you're stuck because whatever it is, because of Jesus dying on the cross, we have the ability to follow God. We have the ability to do what he has called us to do. The other thing is this, is yes, we have done things that are wrong. Yes, we have done things that we should be ashamed of and that we are kind of want to keep quiet and to ourselves and not let anyone else know. But whatever that is, whatever that feeling is, don't let it define you, just remind you. Don't let it define who you are, but don't forget about it, because think about, you know, what that did to that person, what it did to that, whatever it is. Remind yourself so that you don't do it again. Remind yourself to say, I am better than that. Remind yourself to say, I can be better than who I was at that moment, because I can be the first one to say, I have had plenty of things where I've messed up and to where I just feel like I should never be on this stage. I feel like I have always done things to where I'm never going to be good enough, that I could try things harder, that I can do things better. I always feel like I'm never good enough, but I remind myself who I am in Jesus. I remind myself that I can do better than those mess ups I had in the past. I can do better than those things that I've messed up on. And I continue to remind myself that that was a really hard time for me in those days. That was a really hard time for me in those moments. And I know I messed up. I know I did wrong. But you know what? I know I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I know I'm not going to do that again. I know that I can sell myself short on a lot of things and say I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm never going to be the person that everyone wants me to be. I'm never going to be the person that I want to be. Don't let those thoughts, don't let those things control you. Don't let those feelings, whatever that is inside of you, control you. Don't let it define you. Just remind yourself that you are better than that. You are better than those moments. You are better than those thoughts. Know that you have learned your lesson. Know that you have put that in your past and you're willing to grow from it. Again, because I love kids' movies. The movie Lion King. When Simba, when he thought he was the reason why he killed Mufasa, his dad, he had a tremendous amount of guilt. And as he was growing up, he lived with Timon and Pumbaa in the middle of this forest and was always avoiding guilt, always hiding it, always pretending like it didn't happen. And then this crazy monkey named Rafiki comes up to him and tells him his father is still alive. He goes, there's no way he's still alive. So he goes and tries to follow Rafiki. And Rafiki takes him to the pond and he shows him, like, your father is here. And all he sees is his reflection. And all he sees is himself. And Simba reminded, Rafiki reminded Simba that his father lives through him. Just like our father lives through us every single day. And then to continue on to that, because he felt so guilty about what he's done. It was so funny because he was so, like, he's like, yeah, like, that's awesome, that's great, but I can never amount to this. I can never amount to what my father was. I can never amount to the expectations that everyone has because I did this, because I killed my father. And what Rafiki did in response to that is he hit him on the head with a stick. And he goes, ow. He goes, why'd you do that for? And Rafiki, in response, says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. And then he swings again. And Simba ducks and learns from it the last time and misses the swing. And a lot of times, that's how the enemy is for us. Whenever we feel like, and we know the expectation, we know the things God calls us for, he gives us guilt and tells us we're not good enough. And sometimes it feels like we're getting hit by a stick. But if we don't let our past define us, when you don't let your past determine your future, you learn from it, you can avoid the pain the next time. And you can do the things that God wants you to do. You can do the things that God has called you to do. And to remind yourself that what you have done, whatever mistakes you have, it doesn't matter. They're in the past. So let them remind you, not define you. Now, this next one is also really key because we tend to do this a lot. Don't condemn others for their mistakes. Don't condemn others for the things that you know they've messed up on, for the things that you know they're falling short on, the things that you know they're messing up on, because what you're doing is you're disqualifying something God can do in and through you and in and through them. Give as much opportunity and give as much love as you can to those around you because you have no idea what God can do in and through them. God loves them and their mistakes just as much as he loves you and your mistakes. He loves them just as much as he loves you. And lastly, when I'm going to end with two things. This one, and it also goes with guilt. Like I said, we have that weight. We know we can lift it onto God, and we can give it to him, and we can say we are forgiven of our sins, and that's great. But the next thing with that, too, is make it right with whoever it is that you hurt. Make it right with whoever it is that you did something wrong to, whether it's an apology, whether it's taking time to own up to what you did. Say, hey, I know that this happened and it wasn't really okay for me to do. It wasn't really okay for me to say. It wasn't really okay for me to act in that way. And I can tell you what, it takes a lot of humility to own something like that. It takes a lot of humility to say that we messed up and to say that we did something wrong and to say, I'm sorry. But don't let pride or fear or worry stop you from making things right. Because we can be afraid that that person could just lash out on us, and we can be afraid that the relationship that we have with that person is absolutely ruined. We can be afraid that, you know, whatever it is, whatever fear that can go into your head, or pride saying, well, it's too late now and I'm better because of it and I can grow from it and I'll just worry about myself. Don't let worry that you're going to lose your job, worry that you're going to lose a relationship, worry that you're going to lose, you know, a loved one, whatever it is that's causing you from not making things right, remind yourself that you are forgiven already. And in order to get rid of that guilt, in order to lift that guilt from that person, you have to own it up to them. And then the last thing I'm going to end with is this before I pray us out, is if you have ever like felt this and you didn't really know how to process it and you didn't really know, you know, what was going on inside of you, and you just feel like God is stirring something inside of you to where you just need prayer for, like you're not sure how to approach this person, you're not sure on how to approach the situation, and you just want God to give you a way, give you a sign, or give you that courage, I just encourage you guys to find one of our prayer leaders and find someone that you feel safe to talk to and pray about it with. Because the biggest thing about us as a church, the biggest thing about us as a family, is that you are not in this alone. This is a church body for everyone. We are here for everyone. We are here for anyone. That is our heart. That is our mission, is to be here for everyone, to be a family. And so if you feel like you can't do this alone, if you feel like whatever it is stirring inside of you, you're not quite sure how to process it, and you just need to either talk it out or pray it out and ask God for guidance, I encourage you guys to find someone in this church, whether it's after service, whether it's throughout the week, whoever it is that's placed on your heart, I encourage you to go find that person. And the last thing is, if you have never actually received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never really taken that time to say, Jesus, like, I want you in my heart, and during this message, during this time when you are hearing about what God has done, when I've talked about how through the power of Jesus that God sees you for who you are and you can let go of all your guilt to him and you really want that, I again encourage you to talk to either Pastor Rick or me or any of our prayer leaders that we have here, and we will help you through that, and we will pray the prayer for you for that, to accept Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's a rededication. Maybe you have done before and it's been a few years, or you've had a time where you just feel like it's been really quiet and God's just nudging you. You're like, but I already been saved. I've already done that. But God's saying, no, like, I want you to go back. There's something inside of you. There's something that I want to work inside of you. And this is the first step. Whatever that feeling is, whatever that nudge you're having, I encourage you to find someone to pray about it. So I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for the word that you have given us. Thank you for just the presence that you have in this room and the presence that you have in our online community, in their homes, or wherever they are at, God. Just thank you for everyone that is listening, for everyone that is watching, for everyone that is here, God. I just thank you for their hearts. I thank you for what you are doing in and through them, God. And I just pray that during this week, during this time, God, that you continue to open our hearts, you continue to open our eyes to what you are doing in our community, what you are doing inside of us, God. And I pray that whatever guilt, whatever shame, whatever fear, whatever the emotions are that are inside of us, God, that we begin to trust in you to control those. We begin to trust in you to help us process those, God, so that we may not be controlled by our emotions, but that we can control them. And God, whatever guilt that we may feel, whatever guilt that we have that's making us feel stuck, that makes us feel like we're not good enough, that makes us feel like we can't truly be ourselves, God, I pray that you give us revelation on how to open up to that and how to break those chains and how to own up to what we have done, to how to process those emotions and say, you know what? That does not define me. That does not control me anymore. And God, I pray that we have the courage to own up and to have the humility to talk to the people that we need to talk to and ask for forgiveness and to apologize and to reach out so that we can be free, so that we can have that weight lifted off our back, so that we can have that time to just say, you know what? God, you are bigger than this circumstance. You are bigger than this feeling that I'm feeling, and you have a plan and purpose for me that is bigger than this. And God, I want to follow you. I want to do the things that you have called me to do. I want to be a part of the worship team. I want to be a part of the youth ministry. I want to be a part of Sunday school. I want to be a part of the welcome team. I want to be a part of this church, and I'm not quite sure where, but I just want to be a part. So God, I just pray that you continue to open our eyes, and that I pray that you continue to reveal in us what you have called us to be. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.